Let's read together this morning from the book of Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, Romans 7, verse 14 through 8, verse 4. May God bless us by this word, Romans 7, verse 14. Paul's struggle with sin, the believer's struggle with sin, we said last week, you struggle with sin. That doesn't make you weird or worse than others. It's every believer's struggle. But the issue is, where does deliverance come from? And Romans 8 is the answer to that. Romans 7, beginning to read at verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find this to be a law, that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is God's word. May he bless it. Special focus. I don't think we'll get very much to the second point this morning, but on verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord for the gospel of freedom. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, on this Reformation Sunday, we celebrate the rediscovery of the gospel in a movement of God begun by Martin Luther. We celebrate the true and everlasting freedom that we have in Christ. And as we do so, we come to this mountaintop verse in the book of Romans and in all of Scripture, Romans 8, verse 1. The freedom declaration of the gospel for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a contrast to what he just said, wretched man that I am, to the misery and the torment of Romans 7. Wretched means tormented, miserable person that I am in all my struggle with sin, my weaknesses, my failures.
The evil I hate, I do. The good that I want to do, I don't. Wretched. Who will deliver me from this body of death?
And then he says, thanks be to God, to Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Romans 8, he unpacks that. Deliverance. Who will deliver me? Jesus. And so Romans 8 unpacks the deliverance of Jesus by his blood and by his spirit. And we'll be focusing more on his blood, his death, and how that delivers us from condemnation. But then later, his spirit that delivers us from being overcome by sin and temptation and gives us strength to fight. So freedom from condemnation by Christ's blood. Freedom to live for God by Christ's spirit. But we focus on the first one this morning. Deliverance. We have complete deliverance and freedom in Christ, brothers and sisters. Whether it's sin and temptation you're facing, COVID, financial worry, cancer, death, family struggle, whatever the miseries, the torments, you're free. You are free in Christ. Free from God's condemnation. Eternally free to live for God. That's what Reformation freedom was all about. Discovering freedom in Christ, not in ourselves. Discovering freedom in what Christ has done for us, not what we're trying to do for Christ. If you rest in your hard work for Christ and your hard fight against sin, it's never good enough. You can never be sure you're right with God because you never reach perfection and you're left tormented. Your conscience accusing you, Satan pointing his finger and laughing at you, saying you're a loser. That's how Martin Luther was oppressed in the Roman Catholic Church. When the law condemned him for his sin, he said, Martin, you got to try harder. Martin, you got to fight more. Martin, you got to do more penance. Martin, you got to confess your sins more. Martin, you got to pray more. You got to sing more. Martin, you got to do more yourself. Try harder, Martin, until you reach a level where you can be sure that God is now okay with you. God, you're right with God. You have God's approval. But what does the Bible say? Paul, in his struggle with sin, when the law condemned him for his faults and failures, where did Paul go? Did he go back to the law? Do more. Try harder, Paul. No, he ran to the gospel for deliverance. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. He runs to Jesus, and he runs to Jesus every day. And there he found a steady stream of assurance and rest and refuge, that his sins were forgiven through Christ's perfect work, that he was right with God through Jesus Christ, and he was under no condemnation. And by God's grace, that's what Luther finally discovered in his torments. Martin, you got to run away from yourself. You got to run to Jesus. He is your deliverance. Here you will find freedom from all your weaknesses and mistakes, your sins and failures and imperfections. Here you will find freedom from God's condemnation. And that discovery of true freedom began the tide of the Protestant Reformation. We're justified by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Sadly, that Reformation has lost its way in the West. And today, only 30% of Protestants believe that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That means 70% don't. 70% of Protestants, those who call themselves Protestants, don't believe the gospel. What's even worse is that 40% of evangelicals, that smaller group of Protestants who say we hold to the gospel, 40% of evangelicals don't believe it either. And or believe, only 40% believe that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, Christ alone. In recent surveys, that means 60% don't. In a recent survey of evangelicals, 87% believe that God helps those who help themselves. 65% of people believe, evangelicals believe, that that's a verse found in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. I'll clue you, it's not. That's a Benjamin Franklin statement. That's not a Bible statement. And so Christianity has slid away from the gospel foundations into self-help religion. God helps those who help themselves. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the wretched man. That's the place of torment and misery. And the gospel of freedom is that God has come down to help those who can't help themselves, sinners, to give us the Lord Jesus Christ and set us free. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pull this apart word by word. I want to start with the word condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. What is that? It's the opposite of justification, where God says, you're innocent, you're righteous. Condemnation is God, the righteous judge, looking at all your sin, your evil desires and thoughts and words and feelings, pointing at you and saying, you are guilty. You deserve death. You're not worthy of me. Hell is your perfect, your proper lot. That's condemnation. That's what we deserve. But the gospel is there, is therefore now no. Second word, let's look at. No condemnation. And the word is stronger in the Greek than no. It's not even one, not any. There is therefore not even one condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not any. In fact, to put it even more strongly, the Greek, the Holy Spirit put the word no or not any at the front of the sentence. Not even one condemnation there is for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. No, not any condemnation. There are so many sins in our lives, many sins, but not even one condemnation. Wow. God will not condemn us at all, not for any of our sins, not even one of them. He doesn't condemn, but he justifies. He says, you're not guilty at all. You're not guilty at all. Not in any way. Not even one condemnation. You are righteous in my sight. You are approved. You are accepted and worthy. You are loved. Because you belong to Jesus, the lovely one. You're tied to him. Not even one condemnation. Now look at the next word, now. There is no condemnation now. Now, it's an important word, right now. Right now, Paul says, in this Romans 7 situation, this wretched man struggling with sin, wondering, could God love such an evil person as me? Somebody who has feelings that I'd be ashamed to share with anybody else. Now, for me, this wretched man, there is no condemnation. I don't have to wait till the judgment day to discover that. Again, that's Roman Catholic theology. We don't know, unless you're a super, super saint. Nobody will know for sure if you've really operated at a level that's worthy of God until you reach judgment day. Then you'll discover whether he accepted you or not. False. As a believer, a sinner,
has given up on himself and run to Jesus for refuge. You don't have to wait to judgment day to discover that. You may know that now in your struggle. In your family issues, the messes of life, the sickness you face, whatever it is that is getting you down and putting you in a spot where you are tempted to become despondent, to despair, the word now is for you to grab. No condemnation for you now in Christ Jesus. As the Puritan hymn writer said, in heaven the saints will be more happy than we are here, but not more secure. Our happiness will grow, but our security is already total now. We have full security in God's favor, love, and acceptance right now because of Christ. Now let's go to the next word, therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation. Wherefore is the therefore? Therefore. Well, therefore means because of this, there is now no condemnation. Because of what? Because of verse 24. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, because of Jesus Christ our Lord, there is no condemnation. And that leads us to the next phrase. There is therefore now no condemnation, or not at all condemnation is there therefore now for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's the key. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means you're no longer alone standing before God in your wretchedness and your sin and your law breaking and your imperfections and your failures as a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter, an employer, an employee, a citizen, a Christian. You're not alone. In Christ Jesus, I mean, by faith, you're connected to him. You're brought into him. And all that he is and has is now yours. That's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. You're no longer your own. You are his. And he is yours. There's no condemnation for you because you belong to Jesus, who was condemned for you. If you really want to know the explanation of what it means to belong to Christ Jesus and therefore now no longer condemned, you've got to go to verse 3. Go to verse 3. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Christ, by his Spirit, has saved you, brought you to Jesus and set you free from that law that was condemning you and killing you because of your sin. And then it says where that came from. Verse 3, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. Here's what it means to belong to Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Wow. That's the place of Jesus Christ in our freedom. What could the law not do? It could tell us what is right, but it couldn't empower us to do what is right. It could tell us where we messed up, where we sinned, but it couldn't show us mercy and pay for those sins. The law is good. It has no imperfections, but it's weakened by the flesh. It's because of our sins. It can't do what it's supposed to do. But what the law couldn't do, show us mercy atone for our sins and make us right with God. What the law couldn't do, who did? God did.
Isaiah 59 says that God saw the mess his people were in the world, and he looked around through the whole globe. Is there anybody who can intercede? Anybody who can stand in the gap? Anybody who can make it right, fix it up? And he was appalled. There was no one. So it says his own arm. He came down and his own arm worked righteousness for him. That's what God did. When we could not solve our own problems and save ourselves, God took pity, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts. He came down himself. He sent his Son, his eternal Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean Jesus was a sinner. It just means that rather than come into the earth in a Garden of Eden state before Adam and Eve sinned, in the likeness of sinless flesh, pre-fall flesh, pre-fall humanity, he came into the state of the human race after the covenant was broken, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, into the desert of our sin and he stepped into that world, broken, fallen, miserable, condemned. God sent his Son into that world as a human being in our own flesh. Jesus willingly came into that mess. And what did the Father do? It says there, he condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus. All the condemnation of all his people, my condemnation and yours, his wrath and our punishment, he loaded, took off us and uploaded to his Son and weighed him down with it and condemned our sin in his Son. And there are no weaknesses in the condemnation Jesus took. Nothing missing. No holes, no gaps. He bore it all. He condemned our sin in Jesus' flesh. This is the work of the love of God the Father, and the work of the love of God the Son, and the work of the love of the Holy Spirit, who created human nature for the Son of God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Wow. All of it. All of it. And that's why there is not any condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. Jesus took it. He was judged for us. God the Father declared him guilty, condemned him, and punished him for us. Brothers and sisters, when we're in that spot, and we should be every day, wretched man that I am, when we look at ourselves, oh, how could I have thought that? How could I have felt that way? How could I have looked at that person that way? How could I have gone there on my computer? How could I have said that? How could I have done that? How could I have treated my spouse that way? How could I have done that to my child? How could I have done that to my mom, to my dad? That when we're in that spot, Jesus is the place to go every day. Not just the first time when we first come to Christ. Jesus is the place to go if you've never come to Christ. Maybe you've been just going along with the flow through your life and sitting in the pew and never applied the message of the gospel to your own life. Never applied that healing salve of Jesus to your sins and misery, and you're kind of walking through the muck and messing along and just kind of surviving, you think. Now is the day for you to discover freedom from condemnation, from misery in Christ. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, go there again. Jesus is the place to go when troubled by your sin. All the time when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Listen to these beautiful Reformation words from question and answer 60 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 60. How are you righteous before God? Listen. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all of God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, out of sheer grace, without any merit of my own, God grants to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I'd never been a sinner, as if I'd been perfectly obedient, as Christ was obedient for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. You want to be free? Free from God's condemnation and free from the fear of hell and from the fear of sickness and death. Oh, there's so much fear today. Also in my life, in yours. Not just in the world out there, but in here. In ourselves. And Jesus is the perfect cure for all our insecurity. He is the gospel. He is the good news that we all need. He is deliverance. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. God did what the law could not do. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, he stepped in. He intervened. He provided. We need that good news now. Who will deliver me? Not me. Not trying harder. God will, through Jesus Christ, his Son. And brothers and sisters, as long as we're left with the question, have I done enough? Have I done enough? What will the answer always be, Jeff? Have you done enough? The answer will always be the same, no. And if you think you have, think again. You're deceiving yourself. As long as we're left with the question, have I done enough? The answer will always be no. You haven't done enough. You haven't done enough to be right with God. You haven't done enough to be set free from God's condemnation and eternal punishment. The question is, has Christ done enough? And the answer is yes. More than enough. There's more than enough righteousness in Jesus' perfection, his perfect life. More than enough atonement in his perfect death for our sin to cover all the sins of all the world. And so if you come to him, and you must, he will not turn you away. He will never say, I've run out. He has fulfilled all righteousness, says the Bible. He freed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ has done enough for you and me to cover all our sins and free us from God's condemnation, so there's nothing left. No condemnation left, nothing, not even one. Not now and not on the day of judgment. That's freedom. And sadly, there is need in the church today in the West and among Christians for a new reformation. That is a new one that goes back to this old gospel. Because many Christians and many churches have left the solid foundation for salvation that rests on our own works and efforts, especially in the social justice movement. Feed the poor, take care of the homeless, and that will be your righteousness. Do good, and that will be good enough for God. Well, feeding the poor and taking care of the homeless is important work. But if that's your foundation for freedom and for being right with God, your work will fail you. You will go to hell. So many churches and Christians have left the solid foundation, and it's time for us again to return to the solid rock on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's good news that we must hold on to, but that we must also share with our neighbor. Let freedom ring. Let's get this word out. As Paul said, how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? People need to hear the gospel all around us. So tell your neighbor what Jesus has done for you in very simple terms. God did for me what I could not do for myself. As a sinner, I couldn't save myself. He sent me his son who died for me to pay for my sins, and now I'm free. I'm free from God's wrath and the fear of death, and I'm free to live for God, and I'm on my way to heaven. Do you believe this? Invite your neighbor to a Bible study. Invite your neighbor to church. We need the solid rock of in Christ alone. Well, brothers and sisters, there's more to this deliverance and freedom that we have in Jesus. We hope to get that to that next week, Lord willing. Our freedom is not only in his blood that sets us free from all condemnation, but also in his powerful spirit that sets us free from our addictions to sin and enables us to live for God. God condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirements of the law might be kept by those who live according to the spirit, not according to the flesh. We also have the spirit, but we hope to get to that later. Recently, Pope Francis praised Martin Luther for bringing freedom to the church, freedom from corruption and greed. And sadly, the Pope missed the heart of what Luther was really all about and what the gospel is all about. Not freedom from corruption and greed, freedom from the wrath of God, from the condemnation that we deserve because of our sin. Freedom in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's freedom. Not found in trying harder when you're doing poorly, but trusting more in Christ who has done everything for us. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the glorious freedom you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You provided for us when we were imprisoned by our own sin and under the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, and we couldn't get out. We didn't even want to get out. And you came and proclaimed freedom in Christ, gave us your spirit, and joined us to your Son. That what he has done in his death and resurrection may be ours. What good news. Father, set our consciences free. Give us the full assurance of faith. Help us to be able to say there is now no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. And help us, Lord, to share this good news of freedom to a nation and a world that is lost. Lord, use us as instruments of the glorious freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.